You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Radio show, and I am your host, actress, author, evangelist, and content creator. And you know what I love to do? I love serving Maravation because it is the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. And I am super excited for this radio show, OMG, as well as the podcast for those that are going to be joining me a little bit later. I'm excited because I've got one of my personal good friends as my guest tonight. And those of you who've been tuning in to OMG for quite a while, you know how we do. And there are a couple of people that have been repeat contributors, and this person is one of those. I'm going to introduce to some, and then to others, I'm just going to welcome him to the platform. It's none other than my friend. He is a saxophonist. He is also a pastor. He also just recently, he's created something that I think you'll be blessed by, Grace Steps the Movement. It's a group movement, and he's going to unpack that a little bit, explain some of it. So I want you to be, would you be so kind as to do a virtual hand clap while I bring to our platform my friend, my big and little brother, none other than Pastor Jono. Welcome to the conversation, Jono.
Hey. All the listeners out there, it is great to be back with you. It's great to be back with you, my sis, big little sister.
Yes, sir. Super excited about it. And we're going to cover a topic tonight that John always has these rich, delicious nuggets about grace. You know, you have, to me, you're the grace guru. Like, you have learned how to just squeeze every drop of what that word really encompasses out, and so we're just going to do a deep dive. We're going to dive right into tonight's topic, which is grace to embrace the shift. And there's a lot of shifting going on, right? So, Jono, why don't you go ahead and share with us, some portion of how we are to actually take hold of that grace that we need to be able to embrace that shift.
Amen. First, I will say this. Shift happens.
Yes, it does.
Shift happens. And, you know, we kind of have to be careful how we say that because, you know, there's another phrase kind of made popular in the world. But, shift happens. And whether you're a believer or not, a Christian or pre-Christian, as I like to call folks that have not discovered the Lord yet, you know, shift happens for everybody. And, you know, the truth in this year, 2020, we have all kind of been thrown into the same proverbial boat that has shifted us in altering our course, changing our direction, pausing or completely halting what we were once doing. Sometimes some of us are scratching our heads. Some of us are watching and praying. Some of us are cussing and fussing.
Yes.
Some of us are assessing our circumstances. Some of us are rethinking a few things. And some of us are regrouping And then some of us are actually facing our tomorrow, and some of us are just groaning and rolling back over in our beds. But the truth is that this year has, for everybody, thrown the most incredible size curveball our way. And whether it's COVID, whether it's racial inequalities and tensions that we are all feeling, whether it is, oh my goodness, whether it's financial issues that are caused by one thing or the other, we're all experiencing shift. The word shift, I like the noun, which basically means a change in our direction, much like in football, when the fourth down takes place and the one team doesn't converge into another first down, that ball shifts direction. The weather is another shift. We can take note of the winds. They shift directions. So, you know, with shifts, I kind of like to think of them as transitions. And my wife and I, as we kind of contemplated over this past month and a half time period, and we just took inventory of all of the various transitions that are taking place in our lives. We've been married for 29 years, 29 and a half years. And the thing that we have come to recognize is that shifts happen. Transitions happen.
I'm going to put a pin in that, and I'm going to deep dive into that in 2 seconds. I need you to look at that, Jono.
Okay.
Look at that, Jono. All right, so while he's looking at that, just sent you a message. While he's looking at that, I want to unpack a little bit of what he was talking about. You know, there is so much taking place with, with of course, COVID, with, of course, all this taking place with those that are unemployed, with, of course, those that are having financial hardships, with, of course, those that are just uncomfortable with being alone with themselves and or with their spouses. This has been a challenging time for a lot of people, and as he mentioned, some people are groaning through it, some people are praising through it, some people are, like, gliding through it. Those that are loners, those that are introverts, those that do not care to be around people anyway are soaring, exceeding expectation, and excelling in that thing. But for those of us who love to be around people, love to interact and do the hugging and the whole nine yards, this is a tough season for those of us who like that. Although, I must admit, I have been creating so much content that as this shift has happened, I have been just immersed in this other world. So why don't you go ahead and unpack what you were about to talk about with you and Tonya, because I wanted to make sure that we could remove that other deal that was going on. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I hope this is this a little bit better? I hope.
I believe so. Let's see.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. So, yeah, I'm just going to be a little bit transparent here.
Please.
With your listeners, Mara. So just in the last month, we've experienced a marriage in our family. Our oldest daughter just got married. Our second oldest daughter moved out of our home along with her husband and our two grandchildren. And they didn't just move out, but they moved across the country to the state of Ohio.
I just heard about that. I was gosh. Yes,
yeah.
I did. And I also heard that. Shout out to Mason on Parenting Magazine.
Come
yes,
on
he
now.
Is this month. Shout out to Model Mason. He's what, three? Four? Three. Four.
Four.
That
four
little boy
old.
Is adorbs. And we could talk about him all night, so we're not even going to start.
Yeah,
but a shout out because he's in Parenting Magazine as a kid. Four. Yeah.
Parent
that.
Magazine.
But go ahead. Parent Magazine. Parent.
Page 98.
Page
October.
98. Grandpa would know. October.
Yeah, we could go on and brag about that. management positions, promotions, and things of that nature. You know, these are things that are taking place in our personal lives.
Yep.
Death of loved ones, mortality. If I could just use M words, marriage, moving, management, mortality, mothers and fathers. We just found out that my dad is moving, also out of state, moving to Houston, Texas. So, you know, there's so many things that are going on. And collectively, we're looking at a monarchy shift. There's a shift going on. Well, we'll see what happens if there's a shift that takes place in the political realm, a shift in power. And, you know, in order to navigate all of these shifts, we need God's grace. And like you said, you know, the Lord has been really just downloading bits and pieces, elements, of distinctions about his grace. One of the things that he dropped on me about 3 years ago, it'll be 3 years ago this month, as a matter of fact, was a definition, a working definition for what grace is. And grace is the gift of divine ability beyond human capability to accomplish God's things through God's methods by God's power unto God's glory.
All right, so you're going to have to unpack that like phrase by phrase by phrase, because there's so much to taste in that. You know, there's different textures and there's different aromas, different fragrances in that one phrase. I mean, you've got to unpack that.
Let the unpacking commence.
All right.
Yeah. So, number one, God's grace is a gift. We don't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to work for it. It's not a payment. It's not anything that we deserve. It's a gift, free and clear. It's a gift. And it starts really even before our conception. So by virtue of God creating humanity in his own image, you're gifted. You, my friends, are gifted because God is such a God that, you know, he didn't just release us into the world and, you know, try to figure out what he wants for us to become. He stamped us with his own likeness. And so just by virtue of us being human, we're gifted by grace, by the grace of God. When's the last time you had to tell yourself to breathe?
Like never.
It's pre-programmed into our operating system. When's the last time you had to tell your eyeballs to blink or your eyelids to blink?
Never. They just do what they do.
What about your heart? When's the last time you had to tell your heart to beat?
I'm not like heartbeat. It's like I'm beating, baby. I got you.
So, you know, there's some things that God has pre-programmed us to live.
Yeah.
And he created the atmosphere for us to be able to not just survive in, but actually thrive in. Why? Because humanity is gifted with the image and likeness of the Creator. That's just the very, very first element there. Grace is a gift. It's divine ability beyond human capability. In other words, God expects his own to act and be like him.
Yes.
He sent the model, Jesus. Perfect. He was perfection. And in his perfection, saw the Father, saw what the Father did, and now he expects us to do what the Father called Jesus to do. And Jesus even said, you're going to do more than what you've seen me do. And we can't do it under our own steam.
No. The you know, one of the rich parts of the statement, to piggyback on what you're just saying, it is beyond our ability to do it. It has to it has to. We are forced to surrender to his leading and his giving. You know, without him giving that to us, we won't ever acquire it. We won't ever even be able to extend it. I mean, for me to extend grace to someone who has betrayed or hurt me, that is nothing short of a divine gift of God, the Holy Spirit taming tongue, mind, and action in order to extend that grace to other people. And the sad part about people not understanding what grace is that it is free. And when we don't understand what it is, it's almost like people think they have to do something to get it, or it's right there. It's readily available, but you have to reach out for it, accept it. You have to embrace it, just like we have to embrace that shift. We have to make sure that it's a part of what we're saying, what we're doing, what we're extending in all things. And, you know, I tell a lot of people, I'm a perfectionist at times, and there are some people that I know are true perfectionists, and I tell them, hey, excellence is the standard, but grace is the word. Because even if you're shooting for excellence and you fall a little short of that, if you afford someone or extend to someone grace, then they get an opportunity to get it better the next time instead of going from 0 to 100 or being so frustrated that you actually miss a teachable moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I heard somebody say, shoot for the stars, and if you only hit the moon, you are still in heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And you just talked about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a God thing. In the definition, he calls us to accomplish God things. God things are things that God does first. God gave first. God loved first. God saw us in our brokenness and fallenness, and he called us to forgive. So he forgave us first.
Yeah.
Through his son, and there's an expectation that he places on us to do those things, to love, to honor, to forgive others. And when we say, all right, Lord, I want to please you, so that person that has done the unforgivable, you have to give me the grace to forgive that person. And I just really believe that, you know, the world, if it caught a hold of what grace is and understood it, or let's not even go to the world. Let's talk about the church. If the church really understood the call, if the church understood the call of grace on our lives, we wouldn't be so concerned about unlocking doors and sitting in pews and all of that. We would be going and making disciples of Christ, of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I'll be with you in that. So, you know, as I look at where we presently are, this shift that has happened, many of us have not gone back into the church building as of yet.
Absolutely.
You know, here in California, they're kind of releasing some things. Some folks are going against mandates and all of that. But by and large, we have not all entered back in. But we can still enter in.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't want to get that twisted because, you know, if God is a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he's a God that even before the existence of church buildings or synagogues, his presence was with us, even the name that he ascribed to his son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and then Jesus himself said, you know, lo, I'll be with you even to the ends of the age. You know, we don't have to darken any doors in order to be in the presence of God.
No, we don't. We don't. I wanna jump in just for a quick second to try to go down this other path of grace in terms of, yeah, we do have to wait until it's extended to us. And yes, we do have to grab hold of it. And yes, if the church would grab hold of it, we would really understand how to better even deal with members, how to deal with non-members, how to deal with the public, strangers, everything, all over again for you again. Part of the bigger picture to be able to actually grab it, not intellectualize it, but to have it on the inside, to fully grasp it on the inside, to understand what our responsibility is and what's required of us. And this whole reaching beyond, you know, our church, one of our tags is reaching beyond the walls. And I'm so grateful that we really endeavor to reach beyond the walls at Vernon Park. And what we've been creating, even in the digital medium and platforms that I've been tirelessly working to bring forward, it's to keep it diversified. It is also to ensure that every different group is reached. You know, we've got something for teens, something for women. Tonight I'm launching a series for men called Fall in Line. But all of those things are to hopefully enable people to understand that God's word is given in all different forms, and you can see God's presence in all different ways. You know, we have one woman that talks about the children that she's adopted or fostered, I should say, and there's always something you can learn. And then we have one gentleman who's learning from his son and his daughter, and another young lady who learns from different things that happen at work or just in life or from her older kids. And then they unpack that in bite-sized nuggets so that we can reveal to people that you may not get it right all the time, because that's not the goal. The goal is to do right, is to get better, be better at the things that we are actually learning to do, and to extend that grace. I had a girlfriend who was teaching her sons how to clean up the bathroom. And for the ladies out there, I know y'all want to give a shout out because it's like, woo, hallelujah. But I'm mentioning that because she said, I may have to go behind them and clean it up or to make it better, which is probably true. But she was teaching them, A, how to do it, B, giving them responsibility to do it on their own. So even if she has to come back behind them, it's the grace to afford them an opportunity to make mistakes, to learn how, to see what they could do better. But even if it's just introducing them to the concept that this is a good thing, all of that is a part of God's plan. And I think if more of us took those types of things to heart and really embraced the fact that when we first started off at certain things, even this walk, you know, we were messing up and missing steps, and some of us still mess up and miss steps, of course. But I'm talking about blatant, just falling down and laying down and not getting back up when you know you should. I'm talking about that kind of thing. But when we embrace the fullness of grace, when we really understood that we can repent and we can turn from our wicked ways and we can accept God's grace even for ourselves, because how many times, and Pastor John, I know you understand this, do we beat ourselves up for the missteps, the things we didn't do, either it's parenting or it's a harsh word at the wrong time, or it's even a reaction that you think back and God worked it out in your favor, but in that moment of not knowing where the money was going to come from or the gig was going to happen or, you know, if you were going to be able to get something completed, you frazzled and you didn't trust him. You didn't accept his grace to know that he's going to give you everything you need, and he's already prepared you for everything you have to do. And one of my dear friends always says, if there's a pulse, there's still purpose. And so you have the time and the opportunity to get it right the next time.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when God gives vision, he gives provision. And, you know, whenever I hear that, you know, because I didn't make that one up, but whenever I hear that, I always, you know, our mind always goes first to the financial aspects of things. But sometimes he will bring about the human resources. He will bring about the creative resources, imagination becoming reality. You know, and that's what I love about working for God and working not just for him, but with him. Because really, Grace Steps, a movement group, is something that I could not have imagined or conceived in and of myself, all by myself, on my own. I had to be broken and sitting on a sofa, all alone, beside myself, in a position to receive from God. In that particular moment, it was on the morning of October 26th, 2017. And I got the notebook sitting right here.
Wow.
I got the notebook.
So that's why it's important to write it down.
Write it down. I was sitting there just doing my morning devotion. Because, when shift happens and you don't embrace the shift, you're going to be sitting there. That's when you want to run to the Word. That's when you want to run to, to pray and to sit and hear from God. So I'm sitting there doing my morning devotion as I normally would have done. And on that particular morning, the Lord just said, Grace Steps. And so I wrote these two words down. I didn't know what it was or what he wanted me to do with these two words. And he asked me, the Holy Spirit, he just said, what is grace? And I said, well, it's your unmerited favor. You know, I heard some TV preachers say that. I heard others say that. You know, it's your unmerited favor. And it was as if the Holy Spirit looked at me and said, really? And I just said, well, how about if God's riches at Christ's expense? Because I heard that one too.
Yeah.
And he says, no, what does grace mean to you? And I really did not have an answer for the Lord. And so in that moment, he gave me that definition. Grace is the gift of divine ability beyond human capability to accomplish God's things through God's methods, by God's power, unto God's glory. Wrote it down. I wrote it down. And then he said, well, what are steps? And I said, well, that's a little bit easier, right? Because I got steps in my home and all that. So it gets you from, it's a process of getting you from one place to another place, to another elevation. And when he put those two words together, because I'm not going to take credit for what he did, but when he put those two words together and I wrote it down and came up with a graphic, and because Mara, me, I just delve in things graphical and all that. And I was just like blown away. Then I said, Lord, well, what do you want me to do with this? And he said, write.
Yeah.
He said, teach. He said, lead. And play. And I was like, okay, write what? And so I have and you, Mara, are an inspiration to me. I picked up a little book called Beyond Blessed, and it just got me to a place where I believe in myself that I could write to.
Wow.
So, thank
God be the glory.
So I'm sitting here typing out this definition and my experiences in life, my biblical background, all the stuff that I've learned over the years, not all the stuff, but a lot of the stuff that I've learned
Of course.
Just creative examples, analogies, metaphors have been just kind of leaking through me onto my keyboard and onto a screen in front of me. And so far, I'm on about page 90 in my manuscript.
Awesome. And I wasn't so excited for you.
Yeah. So working on a book. It's called Grace Steps.
Hey, hold, protect that title. Protect that title, baby.
Yes.
It's always a thing with titles. This is the deal with titles. Titles are like babies. In the first trimester, you know, you're not supposed to tell anybody. So wait until you get birth. You don't want anyone to take it or steal it or try to rob you of it. So keep that title. Keep it. Guard it. Guard it. Guard it. Pray about it. Very important and imperative because titles sell books and that's important. I want to ask you a couple of questions to perhaps give our listeners who are listening to OMG via our radio show as well as our podcast, who will be tuning in, listening to it via our podcast. I want to ask you, what can you think of the last example, perhaps your wife or your children or maybe even in an employment situation where you had to literally 100% depend on God's grace to either guard your tongue, guard your response, or guard you making a decision, a permanent decision in a moment that was temporary. So unpack that if you can, if you've had an example or an experience like that, so that our listeners and those that are also watching us live via Facebook today can have a visible or audible example of what grace may look like. Because, you know, the word grace and how you've described it, it's to get your arms around it. It's big. And so the more we can chew it up and kind of bite it and feed it, I think it'll be better. So if you could share an example of what grace looked like in your life with a relatable incident.
All right. Y'all ready for this?
Okay. We ready.
Yeah. You know how it said that bad things happen to good people? Well, you know, none of us are good but Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So let me just start there. But a few years ago, I was serving at a church on staff, and some things happened, and I won't go all into all of the details, but some things were said that I said something. Let's put it that way. And I had not said what they said that I said. And I end up not working there anymore as a result of that. And after some prayer and after some wise counsel, you know, when I get into the thick of things, you know, I call pastors, I call Mara, I call your husband, I call other folks, I call my pastor from birth, Bishop Donald Green.
Right.
You know, I call my brother, Pastor
Roger.
Yeah,
counsel.
I contacted over 200 years of senior pastorage. Mm. Is that a word, pastorage? yeah. And just told them my story, and, you know, because I wanted to make sure that I was not in the wrong. And all these folks had not conferred or anything like that, you know, but they all gave me the same answer. And I was like, wow, okay. So I guess, you know, bad things happen to good people, I guess. Something else came about after that scenario. I was supposed to play the national anthem for the Sacramento Kings.
I remember this. I remember this story.
And as I contacted, you know, being in the music business, you contact those folks that are on that professional level, sending an email a month in advance saying, hey, I'm just checking in just to make sure everything is cool.
What it was?
Just making sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Pastor Jono. We have you as not being available. And I'm sitting there scratching my head, and I reply to that email. Well, how could this be?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the woman at the Sacramento Kings forwards me the email that had come from my former church.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, okay. And I said, oh, okay. You know, yeah, to say that I was upset would be a gross understatement.
Yeah.
Because just prior to that, I had met with an employment attorney who said, oh, you know, just so you know who I am, the attorney said, she said, I am what my colleagues and my peers refer to as a super attorney, a super lawyer in her field.
Wow.
So she'll go up against union bosses. So, yeah, so my attorney, she basically asked me what I wanted to do after she told me who she was. And I told her my story, and she goes, oh, yeah, you have a case. She goes, what do you want to do? And I had to think about that and really pray, because it wasn't a situation, or it wasn't a question, rather, if I would win or not. You know, when winning is losing, I thought about the church. I thought about the church members. I thought about the 1,000-plus members at that church, the mothers that sat on that row, and what they thought of who this person is, who they knew me to be, the only one that would go and greet them every single Sunday morning as they sat in their stunningness on the first and second row. And, you know, I thought about those that looked up to me as a mentor. And I said, no, I can't do that. I cannot do that. Even though I would win, it would be losing. And so I said, well, you know, I really just, you know, would love an opportunity just to, like, clear my name. And I was not afforded that opportunity. So, you know, at the end of the day, I've received calls from the mothers of that church, and just an embrace from them. I've sent them Valentine's cards and things of that nature. Some folks have called upon me to mentor them.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get a hold of anybody else at that church. And, you know, and they asked me, Pastor John, are you starting a church? Because I will come there. And I said, no, if you're growing where you are, you need to stay where you are. Flesh was not saying that. Jono, the man, the guy, the dude was like, no, you just need to soak them for everything that they got. And my thing was, you know, the Holy Spirit part of me was saying, to what end?
Right.
And I just really had to think about that and make a decision and stick with that decision. Sacramento Kings aren't going anywhere. Me and God are going places. So had I made a decision other than the decision that I made, I would not be authoring a book right now. I would not be pursuing writing, teaching, leading a movement, or playing by grace.
Yeah.
So you know, I just want to encourage your listeners, you know, when shift happens, embrace the shift. One of the things I looked at, you know, was the biblical example of when David became king.
Yeah.
And when David became king, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, the whole nation of Israel was in transition. Two nations were joining. 12 tribes were reuniting for the first time. And this was a major shift. Saul was dead, the previous king. He was dead. David became king. And all of the army men from all 12 tribes came and rallied behind David. And the Bible accounts for over 300,000 men and leaders to form David's army. And what the Bible says is that from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200. And all these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course Israel should take.
Yeah.
And that just floored me, because it's like, okay, God, I want to see things as you see, not just from a good perspective, but I want to see things from a God perspective.
God perspective.
Because you see things in my future. You see me in my future, and what you told me is that I look better there than I do right now.
Ooh, Jesus. We could shout right there. We could shout right there, because how many of us are really in the box of our mind? You get what I'm saying? We're in the box of our mind, and God's trying to say, no son, no daughter, you got to come up higher. And what you're looking at, this layman's view, so to speak, what you're looking at, he's like, the work that I want to do and the work that I will do and the work that I can do, more importantly, it is waiting for you to change the thinking and the perception and the perspective that your natural eyes have afforded you an opportunity to see through that lens. He's like, no, you're missing it. You're missing it because your view is like this. It's so narrow. It's so closed. It's so conformed. And he's like, I'm a nonconformist. He was like, you don't have to conform in order to receive all the riches that I have for you. I've got them, and they're waiting, and they'll be in abundance, and they will overtake you, and they will overflow if you would stretch your mind to receive that I've got more for you. And all you've got to do is begin to believe it is possible. And begin to understand that B, he says, I will give you. I will. He spoke a thing and it was. And so it is when we begin to speak it and to believe it and to embrace the shifts in life and quit going against the current that we actually get to just allow his flow to be our flow, which puts us in the right position for Daddy God to do all the things that he desires to do with us. But sometimes we're so stuck in our little boat, in our little box, in our little world, in our little situation, that he never gets a chance to come inside and guide us to the greater, to the gooder. And y'all know I use that word, bad English, but good theology. He wants to guide you to gooder land, gooder sea waters, gooder jobs, gooder relationships, not just as in husband and wife, but gooder relationships with your spouse, with your siblings, with your friends. You can have all of that, and you can have it in abundance when we begin to embrace those shifts in life that seem to catch us off guard. And maybe, you know, you feel like you're being tossed around, and then there's another one. Okay, there's COVID. Okay, then there's a pay cut, and then there's, you know, friction in the marriage. But God is like, instead of fighting against them, let your body go limp to them, because you know I'm not going to let you fall. You know I'm not going to let something destroy you. You know that even this seemingly bad thing, his word says, I will work it out for your good. And what I found, Pastor Jono, is when I surrender to those shifts that happen, that's when I am at my strongest. And that is when I am at my most
aware that God is the one who's walking me out, who is speaking with my mouth, who is affording me an opportunity. Like you started this conversation, I don't have to tell my heart to beat. But when I went through, let's say, my darkest winter, I remember having to remember to just breathe and exhale, because it was so painful to me. And I know that we're talking to somebody out there who needs to know what that grace is like, because you're in a hard spot and it's a dark time and you don't know up from down and you don't know how you're going to get out of this. And maybe somebody's sick or in pain, or they're dealing with some situation that seems mountainous. And I want to remind you that there were moments where I had to remind myself to brush my teeth, remind myself to get out of bed, remind myself to get in the shower, and remind myself to breathe, because it felt so much easier to just lay there and just surrender to the darkness of the moment instead of surrender to God's providential ability, to his mercy. I didn't understand that my darkest winter would set me up for my brightest sunshine, which is my husband and Vernon Park family. And my mom and I having a healthy, good relationship after all of these years. Had I not surrendered and had I stayed in that dark place, I would have never seen the rainbows of life and the beautiful sunshine and the laughter that's exchanged between my mom and my dad and I. I would have missed out on so much if I didn't surrender to his plan. It was painful. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I thought was my plan or what was supposed to happen. But when I surrendered and when I start having a God view of what I had planted and sowed, and I have this phrase, I say, if you till, plant, and water, it will grow. And so as long as you've tilled someplace and you've planted someplace and you've watered it, you can walk away knowing that God is the only person that can add the increase. And so that's what grace affords us. And Jono, everything you've been sharing today, you know, I had a girlfriend who got on here and said, I'm going to put it up on the screen. This is one of them. And another girlfriend, she said, hey, she says, wow, I had to pull over to what end blew me away. Oh, Lord, I am embracing. You know, these are just some of the general comments. Another person, First Lady, amen, says so true. The shift, yes, God knows the way we take. Great evening. Another person, sometimes we have to get out of our own way. And that is so true. We block the blessings by putting our body and our thoughts and our doubts and our past experiences, even our history and the things that didn't go right. We put that all in front, and God's like, but wait, son, wait, daughter, I had something so much better and so much greater, but you blocked the blessing from even making its way to you. And Pastor Jono, you know, again, this whole grace word that you have not only embraced and been able to, like I said, you know, wring it all out. It's like you're not wasting one trip of the grace. That same analogy that I'm using for you in grace, it's applicable to how God wants us to receive that grace. He doesn't want us to receive it like you get a little bit of sunshine sitting at the restaurant, but you get the full on, it warms your whole body when you get when you really sit in sunshine. It warms your whole body. When you really take a sip of water, it quenches your whole thirst. When you really eat a meal that's satisfying, your whole body is satisfied. You get what I'm saying? And that's the kind of grace that our God wants to give us if we'll accept it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So embracing the shift, it involves paying attention. Being woke.
Yes.
Being woke. There has to be a realization of the truth, and then agreeing with God to be what is necessary. Be what's necessary. Paying attention, recognize the transitions, knowing what time it is. The men of Issachar, they knew and understood the signs of the time. Sometimes we need to take a step back. And, you know, there's that old adage that says, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees. Well, some of us, God has given the blessing of a tree, a ministry, or a career or something that he's given to us to be responsible for. And, you know, we grab that thing. We grab a hold of it and hold on tenaciously. Our arms and our legs are wrapped all around that thing. And, you know, but we lose sight of all of the other trees in the forest.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We tend to, let me just share this. Years ago, God gave me a dream, and it was me sitting at the bottom of my tree. And I had been sitting there so long that there were now dead leaves on my shoulders and sap running down on top of my head and everything. And Jesus
uh-huh.
comes along and taps me on the shoulder, and he says, come on. And I said,
Did he say come on?
He said, come on. He modernized. And he says, come on. And I said, okay. I said, well, but I, you know, this is my tree. I gotta mind my tree that you gave me, mind you. And he says, no, you come on. So he gets me up, and he brushes all the dead leaves off of me and all the sap and moss that had grown on me. And we start
yeah.
walking through this forest, and I'm looking back at my tree, looking at the impression, the
yes.
Donald shape, where the moss had not grown and all that, because I've been holding that thing near and
yeah.
dear,
yeah.
thinking I'm doing everything for him.
Yeah.
When I called it my tree.
Mm.
And so we're walking, we get to the edge of the forest. I noticed that there were other trees and that there were
yeah.
other folks sitting down at the bottom of these trees. But this was my time. So, and my dream. So we're walking out of the forest now, across this field. Now I could start feeling the sun on the back of my head. And as we're walking and the elevation starts rising and we start going up these knolls and into the hills, and soon we're in the foothills of these mountains, and I'm up above the tree line where I can actually see the tops of all of the trees. I have no clue as to which of those trees belong to
you
me.
You were even under.
And it didn't even matter at that moment. And so he sits me down, and he has me look over to the left, and I see, you know, the vast mountain range. I see the stream that's trickling down, turning into a river that's feeding this forest. I see
yeah.
the sun. I see the clouds and everything. I see the grassy
yeah.
field that we had crossed, all the wildflowers that are
yeah.
blooming, butterflies and all that. It was a dream,
right.
that butterfly.
Gotta have
so,
butterflies in the dream.
as we sat there, Jesus and I, he pointed to my tree. He said, that's
yeah.
your tree right there. And he says, the only thing is, it's not your tree, it's mine. I own all this. Perspective. He had to shift my perspective so that I could realize that everything that I was doing extended out of who he called me to be.
Yes. Donald, wait, I've got it. I was almost in tears. You've described your dream so much more vividly than the short one that I'm going to tell. But I, too, had a dream that I was under a tree, and my husband knows I do not. If I dream, I don't remember the dream, or I don't recall that I dreamed. But I once had a dream that I was sitting under a tree, and the dream, when I processed it, was about me and my lack mentality. And I'm sitting under this tree, and I'm just looking above, and there weren't a whole lot of fruit on it, like one or two little pieces above my head. And I'm just like, you know, this is just not going to cut it. I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do. And I'm looking at this tree, and immediately it was like I left my situation and I began to come up higher. And God was taking me to a view. And when I saw the view in which my daddy God was taking me to, there were rows and rows and rows of trees. I had been sitting in an orchard of ideas. And God was like, baby girl, there is fruit on every tree in here. If you would just begin to grasp everything that I'm giving you when I tell you to do it, move. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Don't hem. Don't hop.
Yes.
Don't complain about what you don't have. Go into your treasure trove of riches. You've got ideas. You've got concepts. You've got words. You've got poetry. You've got song. You've got video editing ability. You've got acting. You've got producing. You've got abundance inside of you, and you're sitting under the tree thinking about how many dollars may be in your bank account, but that's only one source of income. I've given you good health. I've given you peace. I've given you a solid and a sound mind. I've given you so many riches that your money can't even buy and that your money couldn't even afford, no matter how rich somebody is. When dementia sets in, guess what? When dementia sets in, you can't buy your way out of it. When cancer sets in, you can't pay your way out of it. When you don't have an idea, or you've got writer's box, or you can't get anybody to hire you, if you've got God's peace, and if you've got God's joy, and if you've got God's love, and you've got God's spirit, you are able to do all that needs to be accomplished. And guess what, Jonna? We're out of time. Oh, my goodness. We are so out of time. I need you to tell the people how they can catch up with you, because I know you guys want more of this want to know more about this grace group movement group. I know you do. So, Jonna, why don't you share some information? I'll chat it to the people that are on social media so that they can actually go ahead and receive that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Grace Steps, a movement group, we're in the process of forming a 501c3, so I'm moving forward with this. Grace Steps, a movement group, connect with us, gracesteps.org, on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. I call it shit. Jonna Worship. And yeah, I mean, those are how you can catch up with me.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yes,
excellent.
Yes.
So there it is on the screen. Grace steps, right? With an S.
Steps.
Okay,
great. Multiple steps.
With an
S.
Yes. That it's a process. Y'all know, brother Jonna broke that down. So we're going to get off of our live feed. Thank you so much for joining us with OMG. I'm Mara Gill, the host of OMG. And, of course, I'm under the wonderful umbrella of UpToMeRadio.com. And you can check out my podcast. Also, subscribe on my show page at UpToMeRadio.com. That's up the number 2MeRadio.com. You can sign up to receive my podcast via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, also Google Play, and the Stitcher app. You can check all of that out. I'm going to close out the show on the radio, and Jonna and I are going to chit-chat with you guys on Facebook. So tune in, lean in, and listen up every Thursday at Bless You, Be Encouraged. And thank you, Jonna.
Absolutely. God bless.
God bless you.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. OMG.